So anyway, so we welcome all the brave people who are here. Only a week after the beginning of the storm, so that's still it reflects bravery, I guess. And we hope everybody's doing well. Absolutely. Okay. So I'm sorry we've been a little bit spotty because of all of these things between the Yom Tov schedule and everything else. But we'll try to try to make up for it and move a little more quickly to the first topic. So the Mishnah says, again, we started discussing it, Shaimos and the Talis. If two people are holding on to a Talis and they are struggling about the ownership of this object, each one making a ratio, each one making a maximal claim, each one claiming Zelmar Nubasasiya, Zelmar Nubasasiya, each one says, I found this object, Zelmar Kulashali, Zelmar Kulashali, each one says that the object is fully mine. So the Mishnah says, "Zeh yishba she'ein lo b'pachas mi'chetzia, zeh yishba she'ein lo b'pachas mi'chetzia v'yachloku." Each one will take a shvua that he owns not less than half, and then we will split up the talis into two. That's the Mishnah Pesach. Then the Mishnah tells us again, we've seen this already. The next case is a little bit different. Zeh makula sheli, zeh makhetzia sheli. One man says, "I own the whole thing." The other one says, "I only own half." He acknowledges, in other words, that the other party has a legitimate right to half. Maybe he claims they both picked it up at the same time, in the case of Mitzia, or he claims that they're partners, as the case may be. So he's acknowledging that in addition to his half, the other fellow is a legitimate owner. So Omer Kula Shali Yishba Shayla Bafokas Mishoshim Chalokim, the man who says the Kula Shali will take a shvua that he owns not less than 3/4. That's who he will collect. Omer Chetishali, the guy who's claiming half, Yishba, he will swear, She'enot Pachos Mirviya, Zenot Shosh Chalokim, Zenot El Rviya. And that's how we'll split it up. And as we pointed out, that seems simply to be an application of the same rule, because, while the physical tisos in both cases are the same, that's the physical external description of what's happening is identical in both cases. In both cases, according to the Gemara later on, in Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, each one is holding on to Karkashta, each one is holding off to the fringes of the object in both cases. But in this second case, the claims are different. The very fact that the claim is different impacts on the psach. And a way to look at it, although it's not absolutely a simple matter or an agreed upon matter, even it's not uniformly accepted, an easy way to look at this, it's not for some of the complications, is to say that while on the surface this looks like a din Torah on a talis, right, one person saying I own the whole, the other person saying I own a half, legally this is a din Torah on half a talis, and therefore we should really just formulate, the claims from a legal standpoint. Instead of one man saying I own the whole thing, the other man saying I own a half, what really is happening is there's an agreement by both that half of the talis belongs to Reuven. There's a debate between Reuven and Shimon about the disputed half talis, each one claiming a half, which is the exact equivalent to Zeh Omer Kula Sheli on the disputed part. We just have to have all the awards. Because for practical reason, if we're talking about the whole talis, and the din Torah is really on half the talis, so instead of saying half and half, we say a quarter and a quarter. Each one gets a quarter of the disputed talis, part of the talis, and the other fellow gets a half, because that isn't under dispute at all. I say it's not so simple, we'll see this later on, because some Rishonim think it isn't so simple. In other words, they think that the fact that the dispute in practical terms revolves around shares or portions of a single talis is a reason not to completely reduce the din Torah to the half. And then the question is, for which issues do we reduce the din Torah to the disputed part? And for which issues do we continue to look at the din Torah in more pragmatic terms, in terms of the amount of the talis? Or parts of the talis. Yeah.
If you formulate it in the formal way, and the focus is simply on the second half, you also change the physical circumstances, because dying, they're still holding on to the Tarkashta, right? And the way I understand it, they would still be holding each one on the edge.
That's what I'm saying, but that's what I meant before when I said, if you look externally, physically, at what's happening here, this case is the same, and one could have thought that the physical tefillos are part of the story here, that we shouldn't get the same psak, even. Right? Because each one is tofes. This will depend on the big issue that we're going to discuss. That's exactly what I was saying before.
Right.
But on the other hand, the psak of the Mishnah seems to change because the timers are different. So one perspective is, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just giving you a perspective.
I just didn't understand yourself.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is, on the one hand, the physical externals are the same. On the other hand, the legal dispute is limited to half. Now the question is, which of these factors, is determinative, or, and that's the more complicated position is, they're both determinative, but for different things. And that's, for example, everybody has sort of highlighted a little bit, on the one hand, the split is half of the half and half of the half, which ends up being three quarters of a quarter, but it's really half the half. On the other hand, if you look at the shrua, right, the shrua that's being taken by the kula shali is three quarters, and the other fellow is swearing in a quarter. Now, why do you have to swear in three quarters? You should only have to swear on the disputed quarter, right? So all Rishonim, not all Rishonim, quite a few Rishonim ask this question. They say, I don't understand why he's swearing about three quarters when there's no dispute about half. And they give different answers to that question. The question highlights or accentuates that this isn't as simple a matter as we thought. Similarly, I think I mentioned last week, Tosas here asks the famous Tosas Zenoto Revia asks the famous question, Vim Tomar, Ye'enem Adachetse Shalom, Migu Dibayomar, Kula Shali. Tosas says, why don't we believe him? Right? He says he owns half. He admits the other fellow owns the other half. Why not believe him that he owns the half and give him half? After all, if he was a liar, right, he could have said that he owned the whole thing and he would have gotten half. So why not give him half and reward him for being an honest man? Right? That's the question. That's Tosas' question. All Rishonim ask that question. It's a very good question. So Tosas' answer is from the Farish Rivam, the Nigel Lahotzi, Lo Amrinan, the Bechetzer Hashemi, Muksak Zeh, Kimbozeh. Tosas says, we don't have this as a rule that Tosas believes in, that not all Rishonim believe in. Migu lahotzi lo amrinan. What does that mean? Migu, this mechanism that, a person can even build, whatever you want to call it, build credibility, that you believe somebody because he had a better lie if he indeed was a liar. So Tosas says, that will work lahaksik, it won't work lahotzi. That'll work to preserve the status quo, to keep things as they are, and you won't take it away from him, but it's not going to work for him to extract something right from the mukzakos of another party. Now, and in this case, Tosa says, each one has a tzisa, and therefore to suggest that we would take it from the person who says kula shali and give it to the person who says chatsi shali on the basis of migu, that would be migu lahotzi. Now, if you think about it, what's really happening here is as follows. Again, there's a dispute, if you take the view, there's a dispute on half the talus, right? And on half of the talus, there's an agreement. But each one is holding on to karkashta. So when we say about the tfisa, that each one is holding as much as the other one, do we mean that each one is holding a quarter as much as the other one? Or do we mean that each one is holding half the talus as much as the other one? Right? So in a sense, when Tosas says this is Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinan, Tosas is assuming that the man who says Kula Shali, right, is not only Tofes Bechetzi Atalas, he's also Tofes Bechetzi Hachetzi. Meaning he's Tofes on half of the disputed part. So then you can say, well, you can't give Shimon, the guy who says, Chetzi Shali, you can't give him half the Talas because that would be going beyond the part at which he is Machzik. Right? And that wouldn't be appropriate given the rule of Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinan. So some of the Rishonim say that Dalai Tosas Rid says this, and Rashbat and Shitim Kopetza says this. They say, I don't understand what Tosas is talking about. That's not Migu Lahotzi, it's Migu Lahotzik. Because what you just said a second ago. Each one is holding on to the Karkashta of the Talis. So each one, 1 second, each one is holding on physically to half of the talis. What do you want to give to the one who says chetzia? Half of the talis. That's the part in which he is not motzi, but machzik. So that's why Tosis is over a second. Tosis is in Heretz and Tosis Rush, and it's implicit in our Tosis. He just doesn't say it as clearly. It's even more than implicit. So it's not clear, but it's there. Basically, are saying the tainas redefine the tvisos. In other words, instead of saying each one is tofes physically, b'chetzi, because each one is holding on at the edge, and it's the two, you know, extreme edges of a single talus. Disputed, the, you know, disputed part and undisputed part. Instead of seeing it that way, the way we look at it is the in the half where there's an acknowledged bilus shlema of Reuven. So that's also the kakashta. You know what I mean? That is kakashta too. You know, it isn't physically. So then, in the disputed part, each one is equally tofes. And then that means that Reuven tofes perviya, Shimon tofes perviya. To suggest that Shimon's going to get a chetzia because of a migu is to suggest that migu lahotzi. And the rule is that migu lahotzi l'amrina. So this is really part of that very discussion. Yeah?
Could you say kakashto is called Alan Gopar?
No. Because, we'll see, so it's a very good question, but that we're going to get to in just a minute. At least our local Tosis thinks that you never say called Alan Gopar when there's any kind of oxen. Even the kakashta.
Like a boat.
The boat you'll say called Alam Gavar because no one's holding on to the boat. Everybody's looking at the boat from the harbor. But we'll get that in just a second. That's a good question. Yeah.
If one was actually hanging on to half the towel and the other one was only holding on to the kakashta, you would have a different shortfall.
So the rule is like this. I don't want to get to this right now, but if you just look at the Gemara on Zion Amud Aleph for a minute and then we'll get back to it. The Gemara says on Zion Amud Aleph, this is the Gemara that tells us about kakashta. The Gemara says on Zion Amud Aleph, this is in the middle of the page on Zayin Amud Aleph, a very important Gemara. Anybody have it? In my Gemara, it's like you have the Gilyon HaShas, and like two lines down, or three lines down from the Gilyon HaShas, across there, you have these words. It's almost in the middle of the page. Tani, or you have the Tosfos in Yochol and Apko. Yeah. So, Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava Kamed Rabavo. Right? Shnayim adukim betalis. Two people are grabbing onto a talis. Here the language of the Gemara is adukim instead of ochzim. Right? So then notel ad makom sheyado magas. This one, meaning Reuven, will receive the amount that he's holding. Then notel ad makom sheyado magas. So for example, if Reuven is holding 2/3 of the talis and Shimon is holding 1/3 of the talis, that's how you'll split up the object. That's what the Gemara says. The Hashar, let's say that's not what's happening. Let's say what's happening is Reuben's holding on to 1/3 of the talus, and Shimon's holding on to 1/4 of the talus, and then the rest of the talus is in between them, right? Not every inch of the talus is in somebody's hands, right? So then the halacha is the Hashar kolkin b'shava. You'll give Reuben his 1/3. You'll give Shimon his 1/4. And the amount, the material in the middle, that will be split in half, because that becomes the karkash, as we'll say. Mach bilei rabavo, so rabavo then made like a sign. Ubishvua, but we'll discuss it more fully in a minute, but you can imagine there's an ambiguity here. When he said mach bilei ubishvua, did he mean the shvua on everything? Right? Did he mean only the shvua on the part that they're splitting that's in the middle? Right? Now, on the yado magas part, is there or is there not a shvua? So the view of Rabbeinu Chananel and more famously the Rambam is that on the yado magas part there's no shvua. The Balei Tosfos disagree. Look at Tosfos here. You'll see in a minute. Machti rabavo vashar b'shvua. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos says nira. The logar seen in Vehashar, the Shua, right? Which is the gift that we have. The Afamesh Yada Magas Yishba. Even the part that's in his grip, he's going to take a Shua on. Right? Kimin the Nitzkin HaShua, because the Shua was instituted for a particular reason. Shaloyeh Adam Holech Latokev right? Mitamze, yishba, af, mesu, tofes. So people shouldn't be encouraged to grab other people's property and claim it as their own. That's true not only for tvisa b'karkashta, as we'll see in a moment, but for tvisa b'adayim as well. Okay, we'll leave the rest of Tosis for now. So this is a major debate between Tosis and most Rishonim against the Rambam, the Gaonim, and Rabbeinu Chanana. By the way, I should just add, before you ask me the question, in case this will answer it, that the Rambam says that you'll take a shvuah on Yonah Magaz too, right, in the situation where you're taking a shvuah on the part that they both are holding together. But that's a Gilgul shvuah. I don't know if this is what you're about to ask.
No, I understand the shvuah on the shah. What does it say?
So each one's claiming that it's the kula shalit on everything. This is the Rambam. Perek Tes Hilchos Toin Benitan. Perek Tes Hilchos Toin Benitan. Halacha Tes. Easy to remember, right? 9-9. Hayu Shnayim Adukim B'Talas. Two people are holding on to a talis. Zeh Omer Kula Shaliv, Zeh Omer Kula Shaliv. Each one's claiming the whole thing is his. Zeh No Talad Mokom Shiyadam Agaz. Zeh No Talad Mokom Shiyadam Agaz. Each one will receive the amount that he's holding on to. The Hashar, if there is a Shar, Cholkin B'Shaveh, Achar Shenishboim. Only on the Shar.
Right.
But then the Rambam adds, V'yesha Kolecha B'Galgo L'Chabeiro, Shekom HaShanotal B'Din Notal. Since he's taking a Shvuah on the Shar, so then he can, this is an institution in Halacha called Gilgul Shvuah. If you take a Shvuah anyway, I can impose, you know, we're in an area where I wouldn't be able to normally impose the Shvuah, but if you're taking the Shvuah anyway and it's connected, so I can, you know, I can use the framework of one to impose, to extend the Shvuah to the other. And the Rambam says you can do that in this case as well. But, according to the Rambam, let's say everything was biyado magas. One's holding on to 2/3, one's holding on to 1/3. According to the Rambam, what's the halacha? No Shvuah. According to Tosfos, what's the halacha? There is the Shvuah.
The Shvuah what? According to
Tosfos.
That's what's in the
theory. No, according to Tosfos, if Kalecha did 2/3, you have to swear that he doesn't own less than 2/3, if that's what he's holding. The other guy has to swear that he doesn't own less than 1/3. Right?
And do they claim they found it at the same time?
Well, if they claim that they picked it up at the same time, found it or picked it up?
Picked it up.
Well, then they would agree that each one owns half.
But I thought it determined how far your hand extends.
No. If they picked it up at the same time, and they admitted it, that would be kol echad topis b'chamisa. That's kinyan. No, here we're talking about a situation where each one says, I am the only or exclusive owner. He grabbed on to my talis. That's what's happening here. Okay. Anyway, since you asked, so that's the... So yodo magas... All right, so here's the Gemara. If you just continue the Gemara for a second. This phrase, karkashta, comes from here. So the Gemara says... Elamas nisun the katani, the palgi, the hadadi, but the Mishnah, our Mishnah says that we split it halfway, 50-50. What happened to Yad Magaz? The lo tani said no tal ad makom to Yad Magaz. Doesn't say in our Mishnah anything about Yad Magaz. That's a bright from the Gemara. Eichin ishkachasla. What's the case? The Gemara says Amar Papa the tvisi bekarkashta. Because in the case of the Mishnah, no one is holding it. They're each holding the edges, the fringes, literally. Then the Gemara says, "Omer Rav Nesharshia, Shema Mina Hay Sudra, Kibud the Tafis Ba Gimel on Gimel, Karina Bevenasam LeRehu, the command the Pasuk Dami the Kani." Well, I'm just going to read you this line because it's important. So the Gemara says, "We see from this whole discussion, which discussion? Ad Sheyada Magas, that somehow, if there physically is a distribution of this object that is different, one has 2/3, one has 1/3, one has 1/4, one has 1/8, whatever it is." Right? We split it up based on what they're holding on to. So the Gemara says, we see from here that a sudar, Kibin the tatis, gimel al gimel. As long as you're holding 3x3, which is a minimum of beged, according to Rashi, so it's keman the pasuk done. What are you talking about? The you know the pasuk in Rus, you know shalat ish nalo v'nasan v'rei, which is what we call kinyan sudar. But a lot of kinyanim we do through sudar, symbolic, like a handkerchief. So if you don't have to be holding the whole handkerchief, according to some Shon, you don't have to pick up the handkerchief. If you're holding gimel al gimel, right? It's keman the pasuk done. It's like as if it was torn off. Somehow they get that from Atchi Yodo Magas. Wow. You can see a little bit why the Rambam thinks of Noshua. The Rambam probably thinks, we'll discuss it. The Rajva says this is where the Rambam got it from. Says that the Rambam understood that the continuation of the Gemara establishes that it's like two different begadim. It's like I'm holding on to Beged A, and then my colleague is holding on to Beged B. Right? Keman de Papas, Dami, is Keman, as if it's Keman de Papas, Dami, as if it's torn off. So if it's torn off, if Reuven is holding on to, Rambam, Nazik, and Shimon is holding on to Rambam Mishpatim, right, and each one is saying Kula Shali. Reuven saying Nezikin and Mishpatim, they're both mine. He grabbed it from me. And Shimon is saying Mishpatim and Nezikin, they're both mine. He grabbed it from me. But right now, one is holding one, and the other is holding the other. Does anybody think that you need to take a shvua? No. Why? Because that's the rule. Chazaka, Kol Ma Shetachas Yad Adam. Harei Shalom. We always believe. Again, if we know it isn't true, it's something else. If the guy says, I grabbed it, it's mine because I grabbed it, even though I didn't own it, then of course we take it away from him. You need a chazaka sheishima taina. But if he has a good taina, and he's the exclusive toe-face, right? So just because his taina, the other is more inclusive, or the other fellow's taina is more inclusive, that's the rule that when it comes to the talfalim, you don't need gimel shanim. You're not going to be nishba. So in a way, what the Rambam is saying, maybe it's more to it than that, but we'll see. Well, at least this is the Rajpa's reading of the Rambam anyway, is that, since the Gemara happens to learn to derive a halacha keman de pasuk dami in this particular case, so if we take that literally, it's almost like zet topis bebeged echad, zet topis bebeged sheni, Zelmer Shnei Abagadim Shali. Zelmer Shnei Abagadim Shali. Did anybody ever say in such a case that you need a Shvua? Not even the Bali Tosis. Right? So, that's the Rajva's theory why the Rambam holds that there's no Shvua in this case. But the Bali Tosis thinks there is a Shvua. The Rajva holds a Shvua. Most Rishonim hold as a Shvua. So we'll get back to this in just a minute. Okay. Anyways, this is our Mishnah. These are the two cases in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah goes on with the case of Shneim. Rochvin, Echad Rochev, Echad Manig, which we read, etc. Well, we began to discuss last time, and this is directly related to the Gemara that we just read and the Machlokas about that Gemara that we just read, is the question of how to look at Shnayim Ochs and Batakas. And what we pointed out was that the classical din of Metaltalin is that Tfis Metaltalin is a very effective mechanism. Unlike Tfisas Karka, or Cheskas Karka, right, which requires 3 years, in which you can also understand that maybe there's no concept of tfisa because, you can't put the karka in your pocket, and you can't hold it in your hand. The karka is the karka, and not just because physically it's that way, or maybe even legally it's that way. Karka olam amades, karka has a certain cachet. There's a certain perspective that we have on karka and on the own halacha does. The ownership of karka, the way that we relate to karka, pricing in karka. I spoke about this when we learned Cheskas Batim 3-4 years ago, right? I think there's some evidence. Eino Nav the karkos, of course, and Gezel the karkos, for example, Eino Nav the karkos. Maybe because, when it comes to pricing, you could price Metaltalin because Metaltalin is a very here and now, kind of an item, right? I mean, it could be gone. Like that. you know, and it could have been gone yesterday. So the idea that, you know, its value is very much in the here and now is I think, a very compelling perspective from an economic, you know, point of view. However, karka liola mamades, right, and we know, unfortunately, that your real estate can be severely damaged too. Right? It can be flooded and it can be challenged in all sorts of ways. But it is more durable than metaltolin, right? You can't move it to save it to get it out of harm's way. It's part of the topography, for better or for worse. Right? For worse, because it's harder to, you know, to elude the forces. But on the other hand, it's also more durable, right? So karka is not a here and now object. When you try to put a price on karka, right, they'll tell you, you know, location, location, location. You know, it's the same thing, but you can't pick it up and move it. It's part of the topography. So it's more expensive real estate or less expensive real estate. Or, you know, it's not easily destroyed. You know, so it's going to be here next week and it's going to be here next year. And by the way, it was here last year and 10 years ago and 1,000 years ago too. So in putting a price on it, right, you just, the perspective is different. I'm not suggesting that market factors don't apply. Of course they do. But what I'm talking about is a difference, again, in orientation. The way you look at pricing in karka, the way you look at pricing in metaltolin, it's reasonable to think that that is different. Just like the way that you steal one or the other, and therefore, by extension, the way that you establish a relationship of one as opposed to the other is going to be different. So the point is that when it comes to tzifas metaltolin, there's very much this idea that, you know, takas adadam, you know, is shalom. But when it comes to karka, that's a different matter. But this notion of tzifas metaltolin being such a powerful factor, right, in the classical case of one tofes per object, you know, is very, very, you know, understandable. The question is, what happens when you have a dispute and two people are not only arguing about, but they're also physically competing over the object? Do you throw out the din of tfisa under those conditions? Do you say that le'inyan, you know, kol chetzi, based on the tainas, kol echad is topes b'chetzi? And if you say that, will you say that it's ki'ilu keman pasik nami, almost like yoram agas? Almost like it's two begadim, will you go that far even? Right? Or maybe somewhere in between those two extremes, in between saying that there's no din tfisa because there are rival tfisos, and saying that there is tfisa gebura, b'chetzi, ki'ilu afilu keman, as the Rajba puts it, afilu keman denechlika, even as if they're almost practically two begadim, in between those two extremes lie other, more moderate options. Right? You could say, it's kol echad tofes b'chetzi, but the chetzi of a single chetza. And the fact that it's one beged, even though it's a separate species to chetzi, is still different than being tofes shnei begadim. And that's the most moderation or modification, you know, of kol echad yesh lo tfisa b'pnei atzma. A little less of a modification is the idea that kol echad here is not tofes chetzi, kol echad is tofes hakol, right? Each one, according to his taina and his physical control of the object, is considered to be a tofes hakol. But of course, when it comes to splitting up the pie, you know, you can't split it up into two holes. So something has to give, right? Or that yachad shnehem topes and bakol, right? Together, jointly, they control this object. But individually, neither one has a whole claim. Maybe neither one even has even a half claim. So this is the issue that we need to discuss in this Mishnah, which is based on the framework of Motzei Mechaveiro L'Araya / Tfisa, what is happening in terms of these options. So what I'd like to do is analyze this question in some of its issues, some of its ramifications. Do you have a question before? No. Okay, good. So we've mentioned one already. Yes.
I just want a clarification. When in the Mishnah, when the fellow says Zomer Chetzi Shali, he's not saying anything. He's not conceding anything about the fact that the other person owns the other half. As far as he's concerned, It could be, Willie Mays owning the second.
Now, I think that the case, the passage of the case, is that he's admitting it. Well, it's certainly not disputing the other fellow.
He doesn't say
so
about the ownership of the other fellow.
But I think they assume the context is that he is, acknowledging that the other fellow is the half-owner. I think that's the case. Even if it was not true, the fact that there is an undisputed claim on behalf, even if it's not acknowledged, right, or reinforced, but you really don't need it to be reinforced. You have some sort of a tisa, and you have a single unopposed claim.
There's no hodos bound in on the other hand.
Right, but I don't think you need it. But I'm not sure that there isn't. I think given the case, that probably there is. But I frankly don't think you need it either way. Because as long as there's no dispute, if I come to court and I'm holding, the watch and no one else is disputing it, so let's say this watch is a divisible watch. I come to court, I say, I'm at least a partner in this watch. If there's no one to dispute me and I'm holding it, there's no reason, for us to question that. It's in the context of toying the nitzan, of a counterclaim, that we really have a problem. Yeah.
When you say in the Talmud you have Hamotzi Mechavaya Vero Olav Araya.
That's what we are saying. I'm just calling it Tfisa.
Okay.
But 100%. That's what we're saying.
Rabbi, can we say Tfisa is the equivalent of Chazaka? Tfisa but Talmud is like Chazaka.
It just may even be stronger.
Nevertheless, by Chazaka, he has to have a legitimate Taina.
Yeah.
How did it come to him? Now we speak about a Shua. What's in that Shua?
So let me take both parts of the question.
How can he have half? Where does it come to a half?
No. So he says, he doesn't say I have half. He says I don't have less than half. So let me take both parts of the question.
Is that in the Shua? How he acquired it? That he doesn't have less than a half? He bought a half?
No. In the Tainas we already have, Zelmer Kulashali, Zelmer Kulashali, Zelmer Anima Tassia,
Zelmer. What's the lesson of the Shua?
No, the lesson of the Shua is I am the owner. Whether he actually says how he's the owner, whether he describes the scenario, I don't know. I don't think that's necessary per se. But he says, I don't own, now why this language, I don't own less than half as opposed to, why not say I own a home? Right? So that's what the Gemara says later on. We don't want, a shvua shalver, a shvua sheker, and bester. In other words, for each one to take a shvua and say, I own the whole thing, so beinehem, right? Somebody's lying. It's always possible that each one really owns a half because each one picked up. That's the Gemara later on. Let's look at it for 1 second. That's the Gemara's question about bananas. The Gemara says here on base on the base, lema matzisim de lo ke bananas. Everybody have this? Lema matzisim de lo ke bananas. Have you read it before? The bananas, right? Bananas says, Banana said, you're never going to let people swear in Bezdin, but we know that in the aggregate that there's a lie being stated under the roof of Bezdin. It's always a suffix when somebody takes a shua. But here it's going to be a badai. If he says kulishali, another guy says kulishali, but shua, there's a badai sheker. So what do? So the Gemara says, a pizza tame of bananas, also badai ika shua shav. Maybe they just don't realize it, but they picked it up. Or maybe they do realize it, but in the end of the day, the shvua is, I don't own less than half. That way he's true to himself, because he says he owns more than half. But we're not allowing him to be Nishban Bezdin in a way that is a steer. Now you ask, that's number one. That's one point.
It may not be a Messiah necessarily, though, we'll argue with.
Well, it could be Mechachomemka or Messiah. That's the 2 days of the Gemara. That's why the Gemara says, we say, why does it say Zermani Mitzasiya, Zermani Mitzasiya, Zermar Kulishali, Zermar Kulishali? So the Gemara, the part that we skipped so far, says, because there are two cases. One is a Mitzvah, and the other is Mechachomemka, where a man is selling an item. And let's say he says, whoever puts the money down first, so he doesn't know who put down the money first. So, or he forgot, or he wasn't able to see, and it's not his fault. Right. That's the case of Mecca Hamad girls. But the point is that the Shmua, the language, the Gemara says, why do you use that language later on? The Gemara says, elaborates more. The half, instead of saying, Kula Shali, the Shmua, he says, Ainli, Ba, Pachos, Echad. Now you raise another question, which is a very important issue. And that is, do you need a Taina in Cheskas Metaltalin like you need in Cheskas Kark? In Tarka, the Mishnah says a mem aleph from an aleph from Basra, chazaka she'eni mataina lo shmo chazaka. Right? Because we don't believe that possession is nine-tenths of the law or any part of the law when it's not accompanied by a claim of ownership. Right? It's only when he claims to be the owner, you know, that the fact that he is also a possessor, you know, reinforces his ownership. Right? So that's in the chazak shenu taina. Now, do you need a taina in tis metaltalin? Ah. So the Rambam in Perek Ches, in the previous Perek, just, there's no Gemara, as far as I know, that says it explicitly. You can't be a Gazlan in metaltalin. You can't say, yeah, I stole the object, but now it's under my possession. I mean, that's a Gazlan and Nigzal will take it away from you. The question is, do you need to respond? If you're holding on to an object, do you say, it's mine? How'd you get it? What do you mean it's yours? Are you obligated to respond? Are you obligated to articulate your taina in metaltalin? So as far as I know, there's no explicit Gemara that's clear about it. The Rambam says in Perek Ches, Hilchos Tohen, Halacha Aleph, Kol Metaltalin B'Cheskas Zeh She'ein Tachas Yado. All Metaltalin are presumed to be the property of the possessor. Af Al Pi She'ei Be'Atoveh Edim She'ein Metaltalin Heilu Yidulim Lo. Even if somebody can bring evidence that he was the previous owner, he was known to be the previous owner, Marakama in other words, Ketzad, this clothing or this object, right? Osha Matoch Beitzcha, or now it's in your home. Shalihu, it's mine. How did you get it? Ani Hifkarti Eslecha, O Yishalti Blecha, I lent it to you, I deposit it with you. And I can prove that it used to be in my ownership. Vanitva Merloki, not true. El Atam, Macharfali, he doesn't deny that he was Marakama. He just says, but you sold it to me. You're not lending it to me. On the Satali Matami gave me a gift. I raise on Nitva Nijba has Snifta. What does Rambam do very, very quietly? He responds when he talks about Chazaka, Komashitachas, Yad Adam, Rey Shalom, he has the Nitva, the Tophates, responding with a Taina. Not only is he saying, it's mine, leave me alone, I don't owe you any explanation, I'm not a Gazlan, that's all I'm going to tell you. Doesn't say that. And I bought it from you, you gave it to me, Matana. The Ksos in Simon Kutlam and Kimmel, Sif Katan Aleph, the Ksos says, Metaltalin, like Karka, need a Taina. He says, on this basis, a Katan who's holding an object, and the Marakama says, it's not yours, even if the Katan says, I bought it from you, but since the Katan Al Pidin, this is the Ksos Kiddush, doesn't have a Taina. Just like we find in Karka, a Katan doesn't have a Taina. So the Talpan, same thing. That's the Ksos Chish. The Nesiva says, I think the Ksos is right, that the Talpan require Taina. But a Katan's Taina is a good enough Taina when it comes to the Talpan. You don't need as formal a Taina. The truth is, Rabbeinu Yonah in Bava Basra, in the Chabcheslam base in Bava Basra, seems to go further than both of them. Rabbeinu Yonah says, the toface in the Talpan is not obligated to justify, as long as he's saying it's not a Gazlan, he doesn't have to give any kind at all, exactly against the Rambam, against the Ksos, against the Ksos. So this is a question, how far do we push this idea, right, that Chazaka or Tfisa, whatever you want to call it, right, is indicative of ownership. Right? Even as far as saying that you don't even need a formal taina, you don't even need to respond. As long as you tell me you're not a Gazlan, that's all we need to know. Or, the difference is between kark and metaltalin, but not ad kedei kach. So that's really the question. But the shmua here is about the amount that is his, but we just redefined it because we don't want there to be a badai shmua sheker in Bezin. Or that would make it a shua shav in a way, a double shua shek. Okay. Anyway, so let's get back to our main question, which is shnayim oks and betalis. What is the level of tfisa here, etc. So the possibly, let's just throw it out for now, and then we'll get back to it. That is connected a little bit to the argument of the Rambam and Tosis that we saw before. What did we see before? The Gemara says on the Zayin of an Aleph that there can be two scenarios of shnayim oksin. or to be literal about it, there can be shnayim oksin, there can be shnayim adukin. Shnayim oksin is tfisa b'karkashta. Shnayim adukin, kalecha totes b'yado. So the Gemara there says that zen no talad atshiyod magas, the zen no talad makom shiyod magas. It sounds like the Gemara thinks that when there's yod magas, when it's literally in his grasp, when he's holding on, not the karkashta, but the actual different parts of the talis, that is considered like tfisas metalton. Therefore, if he has three quarters and he has a quarter, or he has a third and he has a quarter, right? And you're going to break it up that way, but the implication is that we're taking very seriously, right, the act of tfisa and the portions of the tfisa. Now the question is, when you translate that back into karkashta, so our question resurfaces, but with a different bit of a different framework now. Namely, he's Ruvein's tofis b'karkashta, Shimon's tofis b'karkashta. So you could say, well, we know from Yad HaMagas that rivals can have tfisa, right, on a single object. The thing about karkashta is that it's a 50-50. It's not, you know, a quarter and a third or three quarters and a quarter. It's always 50-50 because, you know, two people on the fringes are equal tofsim. So the numbers change, but the principle is the same. Namely, rival tfisos within a single object is still considered kol echad tofes. But here it's kol echad tofes b'chetzi, right? 50%. And there it's kol echad tofes b'yad mashi yod magas, except for the hashar, which is in the middle, which is going to be 50-50 as well. However, just one second, that's only one perspective. That's the perspective that you would take if you would assume that two things. Number one, that achi yod magas, well, basically it's one assumption, but it breaks down into two points. You're assuming that achi yod magas and karkashta are not fundamentally different, but there's just a difference in the distribution, which also means that you don't take literally the continuation of the Gemara, or if you do take it literally, it's not vis-a-vis this particular halacha when the Gemara says, Keman the Pasik Dami. Remember the Gemara said, we see from here that if you're holding a Sudar and you have Gimel al Gimel, Keman the Pasik Dami. It's almost like the two Begadim. Right? Let's say I don't take that so literally. So, Zot Topes Biyaramagas is Zot Topes Biyaramagas, but it's one Beged. And Zot Topes Bakakashta is Zot Topes Bakakashta, and it's one Beged. In both cases, what am I really saying? Kalechad Topes Bameshu Topes Biyaramagas. We have one way of defining Bameshu Topes, and Kakashta, so it's the amount, it's the distribution. But if you held like that, then you should probably also hold that you should take a shavua, even in the case of Yod HaMagas. Because if you take a shavua in the Mishnah, because Shneim Topsin Bebeged Echad Kolecha Topes Kolecha Toin Kula Shali, and still we're going to give a shavua to each one, right? So then what's the difference between that and Yod HaMagas? It's one Beged, just the distribution is different. Here he's holding 50-50, and there they're holding 75-25 or 60-40, as the case may be, or 30-20 and then 50-50 on the rest. That shouldn't affect whether you take a shrua. If you take a shrua in the mission, take a shrua there. In both cases, it's shnayim oksim bebeged echad, and we consider it tfisa. It's only a question how you break it up. However, probably the Rambam didn't interpret that way. Now the question is, where do you draw the line in the Rambam, or you draw both lines? Meaning, it could be that the Rambam, for the Rajba, that's what I mentioned before, the Rajba says, where did the Rambam get it from, that you don't take a Shavua in Yad HaMagas? What's the difference be? Because the Gemara says, Shema Mina, command the Pasuk Dami. And no one would ever think that you take a Shavua if Zamar Shnei HaChafatzim Shali, and Tofes Be'echad, but Shnei Em Shali. The Zamar, and Tofes, you know, Basheni, Avol Shnei Em Shali. No one's ever going to say that you take Shruas in that case. So the Rajba says, the Rambam Shita is based on the phrase in the Gemara, Kamanda Pasuk Dami. And what does that leave you with in Karkashta? Two possibilities. One is that in Karkashta, it's also Kolechot Tofis Bechetzi, but the Tofis Bechetzi of one Beged. So the difference is, two Begadim are one Beged. But even in Karkashta, Kolechot Tofis Bechetzi a Beged, who Tofis, Ruven Tofis Bechetzi is there, the Shimon Tofis Bechetzi is there. Or, maybe the reason that the Rambam felt that you can't compare Yadav Agash and Karkashta is for a different reason, or an additional reason, as the case may be. Maybe he felt that when Kolecha is Topes, the Yadav Agash, that's a real Tfisa. That's a real Tfisa, even though it's one Beged, maybe. And even though it's a rivalry in that Beged, they don't cancel each other out. That's because each one has a physical achiza. But if Kolecha is Tofes Bekarkashta, maybe in that situation, there's no one who's Tofes. Since there isn't a more specific Tfisa. Now, you have to understand that if one person was holding on to the talus like this,
I thought we had the to our
talus, right? So the if one person was just holding on fringes, right? And no one was disputing it, that would be a perfectly good Tfisa. You would apply the rule of the Rambam Perachet Zokos Poyim V'Nitan Alach Alach. You'd say, Kol Masha Tachat Zadon Abarayim Shalom. Why not? But the point is that the dynamic of two people fighting over it and no one really holding on to the Guf HaDavar, that might be perceived differently. So the Rambam might hold that Tfisa, the Karkashta, it's not so much that, you know, Kol Echad Yodo Magas is Keman Deposik. Maybe that's also true. But maybe the bigger point is that Shnehem Kol Echad Tofes B'Karkashta is not considered a sufficiently, right, physical Tfisa. Now, there's a famous Rambam, right? Perek Tes Sukhus Toing. I think the Rambam is very lishitas thrown on the whole subject. We'll discuss it even more. But halakha yud. One second. Wrong there. Yeah, the Rambam perek testicles towing. One second. Halacha. I'm sorry, halacha zayin. Shnayim sheyu ochzim b'kli echad. Right? Two people were holding on to a single object. Right? Do I have that actually? Did I produce that? Remember if I did or not. No. Okay. So this is halacha zayin. Shnayim sheyochzim, I'll do it for next time. Shnayim sheyochzim b'kli echad. O sheyrochzim al gadi behema. O echad rochei bechad mani. So all, those are all three cases of the Mishnah. Right? Two people holding on to a single object. Riding an animal. One is riding, one is leading. Fine. Then the Rambam adds a case that doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Oh, Yoshvin Bitzad Arema Shochitin. Let's say they're both sitting on the side of a pile of chitim, Hamunachas Besimta Obechata Shoshneim, which is sitting either in neutral territory or in a jointly owned field. Zelmer Akol Shali, Zelmer Akol Shali, each one's making a maximal, mutually exclusive claim. Kolecha Mishneim Nishba Benikita Schefetz. Each one takes a shlova to keep the chepet, she'ima, bazeh, hadavar, pachos, nechetzio, yachok, I don't know, less than half, and it's when they split. So what about this new case, shneim yoshim betzad harem? Right? So all the mefarshim are bothered by it. They say because the case of the Mishnah is shneim, okazin, betalis. Sitting on the side of the pile of chitim, is the equivalent of Ochsin. So Bishlomosh, it's sitting b'chatzer shel shneim. You could say, you know what, that's a kinyan. Kol Echad has an equal kinyan. That's like a legal tfisa or legal chazaka, right? But Yosht in the time, even if it's in a simta, where's the right, where's the Shai Moksin here? Could it be that the Rambam doesn't really require Shai Moksin for the din of Yachloku? Ah. So this is part of a bigger machlokas, which you find in the Bali Tosas already themselves. The second Tosas in Perek, Abdei Samadale, read as follows. Yachloku, right? This is a question you asked about Kol Dalam Gavar, right? Tema, Tosas says, second Tosas. The Maishna, Mahida Arva, the Omar called the Alam Gabar, Parakheska Samatim. What is Arva? What is the boat? So let's look at that case for a minute. We have here on the sheet,
like,
set two. What?
28 here.
28
on
the sheet?
Yes.
What do you mean 28?
All the way down. Houses numbered.
Houses numbered.
Every line is numbered.
Okay, no, but it's no. This is not 28. This is 2. Yeah.
Two.
Okay. Okay, I understand. Okay, so this is a Gemara that they're talking about. Hahu Arva. Arva is a boat. Tahava Minsola Betray. Two people are arguing or struggling over this boat. Right? Hayomer didihi. Hayomer didihi. Each one claims it's his. Asachad binayel beidina viyamar. It's a little bit of a complicated case in that there's another wrinkle here. So one of them went to court and he said, Tipsua adamaisina sahada didihi. Went to the court and he said, do me a favor, hold on to confiscate this arpa, because I'm worried that something will happen in the interim. I have witnesses. I'm going to bring witnesses to win this case. In the interim, right, we want you to step in, Bezdin, and you know, keep watch over this arva. So the Gemara says, Tapsina, no, Tapsina. Does Bezdin, should Bezdin interfere, right, interfere with what? Ah, so the unstated point at this juncture is what would happen if Bezdin wouldn't intervene? The answer is the psak would be called the alim gavar. Whoever is stronger should prevail. So do we, and this is an interesting question, it's all right, will we suspend called alim gavar, right, and involve two things? Suspend called alim gavar, involve Bezdin or not? That's the question of Tafsinan or Lo Tafsinan. That can be, it's hard to understand what the question is. Is that a question about Bezdin's involvement? Is it a question about Kol Dalam Gavar? Maybe you have no right to compromise the existing proper psak. Is it an existing psak or is it a non psak? That's part of the question. Okay. So Ravuna Amar Tafsinan, Ravuna Amar Lo Tafsinan. Ravuna said yes, and Ravuna said no, he said Bezdin should not get involved. Of course, what happened was Bezdin got involved, and then the guy couldn't produce his witnesses. So now the question is, what do you do? So he said, okay, listen, thank you so much, I really appreciate it. Sorry, I couldn't deliver the Bezdin, or I couldn't deliver the Bezdin. But now it's time to release the object, release the boat, you know, so that we can, you know, box for it or whatever else we're going to do, right? Do you do that or not? So the first question was, will Bezdin intervene to delay or to deny Kol Dalam Gavar? Now the question is, will Bezdin initiate a Kol Dalam Gavar? Right? Interesting question. Again, could be about other things, about the role of Bezdin, so on. Or maybe this is again about Kol Dalam Gavar and its character. Either way, the Gemara says, Rav Yirma lo mafkinan, Rav Papa amar mafkinan. The Hilchos of the Gemara says, "Lo tafsinan, Bezdin should not get involved." The Hilchos of the Tapis, but if they did, lo mafkinan, then they shouldn't release the arva into a state of kol dalam gavar either. There's a lot about kol dalam gavar here that we need to talk about. Zemer shalavosa, zemer shalavosa. What if it's a straight out, no fancy? I have eight of them in my pocket. You know, just two mutually exclusive claims of absolute ownership. It's my family legacy, it's my family legacy, etc. Rav Nachman called Alim Gavar. And the Gemara says, why called Alim Gavar? Why not? Why not other psakim like Yachloku or Shudzadaini? Right, then the Gemara later on asks, and what about Sumchas? Yamamana Mutlusafek Cholkin? Fine, that's the Gemara Shakamatari. What emerges is, in this case, Ahu Arva, in a boat that is a mutually exclusive Toin Viditan, then the rule is called the Alim Gavar. So Tosis is asking, why not say Yachloku? It's hard to know whether Tosis is asking, you know, whether you should say Yachloku in the case of Hawarva, or whether you should say Koldalim Gavar in the case of Shaimoksin. This is what I referred to a little bit when I was talking about there being another big topic here. And in addition to the nature of Shaimoksin Talis, there's the question of dispute resolution, broadly speaking. And what is the best, or what are the factors that dictate what is the halachically preferable state of dispute resolution? Is it achloku? Is it called alam gavar? Is it yehemunachat sheyavo Eliyahu? Is it shuda the daini? Right, what exactly is the preferred way to solve a halachic deadlock? So the question here, whether or not the problem is we want to say kol dalam gabar here, or we want to say achloku there, I think is an interesting question. Not only it's the seder hakoshi or akushia is not going to prove much, but the formulation of the question, and especially by some of the answers, maybe the implication is which of these is preferred. Either way, it is the Gemara's question. So what is Gemara's answer? What is Tosfos answer? This is Tosfos question. What is Tosfos answer? Tosfos answer is what Rebbeinu Hananel answers. V'yesh lomar the ochazin shiny the chashuv ki'ilu kolecha yesh lo ba bevadai hachetzi. The Tosfos says two things. Number one, Tosfos says the difference between the cases is that there is each one has a tfisa here. In the case of Hawarva, no one has tfisa. That's the most popular answer that the Rishonim give to this question. But as we'll see in a moment, it's not the only answer, and it's not a uniformly agreed upon answer. Tosis, though, and most Rishonim, with the opinion of Ben Hanano, Chachmei Sfarad, in addition, Bali Tosis, that the reason we say Achloku and not called the Alam Gavar is because Shnayim Ochazin Batalis. But then Tosis adds a giant additional step. Because one could have said that when you say Shnayim Ochazin, you're not going to say called Alam Gavar. But that's not because Kol Echad Yeshlo Chetzi Bevadai, right? At least, as far as we know. It's for different reasons, because just like the Gemara had a question, right? Maybe once Bezdin grabbed the object, they don't have the right to release it into a state of chaos, right? Mm-hmm. So too, if there's Shnayim Ochzin, are you going to take it away from them to say, battle it out? In other words, there's a certain status quo, that we have to respect. Yeah.
When you say Munach Hashiyah over Eliyahu,
that's the Gemara's question. So we'll get there. But the Gemara says, Tepech Chalukah Yicholiyos Emes, Vaday Ramai. There are all sorts of factors that the Gemara here on. That's the Gemara not base on really the top of Gimel Bralah, really. Well, we'll get to that in Tosfos in a minute as well. So the question I'm asking is, when Tosfos here says we don't say Kol Alam Gavar because Shnayim Ochzin, do they mean it in the most positive way? Meaning because each one has chetzi, so you're not going to take away their chetzi to say Kol Alam Gavar. Or does they just mean you can't initiate in order to say Kol Alam Gavar? But we're not saying that Kol Echad Yesh Lo Chetzi. After all, they neutralize each other. They cancel each other out. Maybe it's a din safek even. Or maybe Kol Echad Yesh Hakol. Or maybe Shnayim Yachad Yesh Hakol. So what Tosis is important for here is not only does he distinguish between Oxen and not Oxen, but he tells us exactly what he thinks. And that is, the Choshev, Ki'ilu Kol Echad Yesh Labav Bevadai Hachetz. It's as if each one has Vadai. Now they don't Vadai have a Chetz because each one is saying the other one's a liar. But we treat it, that's a din of, what are we applying here? Chazakah? Even though there are two and it's one, beg it, just one more second, and one more line. Danan Sahadi, that's a big sentence, that's a big phrase. We are witness, meaning it's a very strong omdana. The Mai the toughest high today, who that what each one is holding on to. Now what do you mean each one's holding on to? Each one's holding on to the Karkashta. The answer is it doesn't matter. If each one's holding on to the Karkashta, Al Pidin, each one's holding on to half. Not the whole, not shneim yachad b'kol, not a nothing, right? But each one half according to Tosis.
Right. As long as one is holding on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be one as a
karkasha,
one as whatever
actually on the magas. Yeah, 100%. The chain. Oh, so that's what Tosis says. So now he goes Tosis to say that the din of oksin, which precludes kol alam gabar, he's saying much more than that. He's saying that when there's oksin, there is the model of tvisas metaltalin on half, despite the competition and rivalry, and the fact that it's one beged. Yeah.
Does kol alam gabar literally mean the stronger person?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, yeah.
Kol alam gabar.
Okay. It means
old people or women or
that's right. So we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it. Yeah. The question is, it's very much, there is an assumption here, but the question is how does it work. If you look at Rashbam in Balbas, I don't have it here. But the Rashbam Balbas says, be either be yodo or be rayos. You're implying that there's some other way to struggle with that. But the assumption, again, we'll get to it. The Rosh has this view that there's a raya aspect to kol alam gabar, in the sense that, people who know that they're right, that justice is on their side, are more tenacious. It gives them greater strength.
In an argument.
And sometimes in the physical part, and sometimes otherwise. We'll discuss it. Anyways. The Gemara then goes on, the Tosin goes on to say, yeah.
Just verbally, you're saying that if they came into court, each one was holding a rope tied to the boat, you'd have a different sock.
Each one?
Holding a rope tied to that boat, you'd have a different sock.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. The Chaim B'mona Shlishi. Now you asked me a minute ago, what about when you say Eimunachat Shiyavaliyah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, the Gemara here, you have to understand, look at the Gemara here for a second, of Gimel Amid Aleph. Gemara says, Lema Matsnixon de Lo Krav Yossi. We've seen this before. I read through this Gemara, but 6-9 lines down. Lema Matsnixon de Lo Krav Yossi. De Krav Yossi. Right, Ha'amar. In Kein Mahifsid Aramai. What's he talking about, the Krav Yossi? That's the case of Manashlishi. Two men. Two men deposited money with a third. One deposited $200, the other deposited $100. Now they come to claim their objects, and they each one claim that the $200 belongs to them. And let's assume that the Nifkad is not a Fosheya. It's not his fault that he doesn't remember. It's not bad bookkeeping, whatever it is, it's not his fault. Right, so we know that Din Zerbiosi says, "In Kain Ma'ifsin Arama, you should hold on to all $300, even though the dispute is really about $100." Right? The Chachamim say, "Heimurachat Shavaliyo," but only on the $100. You give back each one's Vadai $100, and on the third, on the disputed $100, it's an interesting issue, especially in light of what we began with about whether the point in dispute, right, is the Din Torah or the Din Torah is just the case. The Toin Benitan, right? It's the 200 or the 300, etc. But anyways, Elamai Rabbanan. So it was Kimnam Rabbanan, Ashay Yemunachat, Shavaliyo, Hanami, Kishar, Gami. Right? Meaning you should compare Shaimos and the Talis with this case of Yemunachat Shavaliyo. So Tosis is quoting that here, and you have to know where this is all coming from Beis Amid Aleph. So it says, the third hundred, in the Yehe Murach HaChayavo Eliyahu case, you have to know how to go back to the Gemara. So what the Gemara seems to be saying, that you should compare it to Shlaim Olson. How could you compare it to Shlaim Olson? There aren't two people holding on to the talus. There's a single Nifkad who's holding on to the $300 or to the $100 that's disputed. How could you compare those two things? Ah. So Tosa says, V'chein manu shlishi d'medami b'gemara l'talis. How could you compare these two things if we're now saying that shnayim ochsim is the criterion for yachloku? Choshev ahu shanifkad tofes v'cheskas shneim ki'ilu heim atzmam muchzakim bo. There's a leap. Just like kolechot tofes b'karkashta is considered kolechot tofes b'chetzi, when there's a nifkad and we don't know who he's holding it for, it's as if he's holding half for each. It's a bigger chedesh. The Rashba doesn't like it. The Rashba says that the whole comparison between Mana Shlishi and Shnayim Ochsin is only in Hava Minon Gemara. The Maskana we reject it, and the reason we reject it is because you can't compare a nifkad to Shnayim Tofsin, even if it's Bartakashta. That's the Rashba, I think, what she tells him. The Rashba is a very extreme Kolecha Tofetz Bechetzi perspective. Bali Tosfos are a little more moderate. The Rashba thinks it's like Kemisha Nechlekal, Command of Pasukdom. It's like two begotten, practically. Tosfos never went that far, and that's why they're okay with this Mana Shlishi idea. The Kach Mishani, the Hasan Vadai Bechad Minayuhu. That's why in order, the Gemara has, in order to explain why one is Emunach HaTshiyav Eliyahu and the other one is Yachloku, so the Gemara comes on to a different explanation. That's HaChaluka, Yechola, Lios Emes, or Badai Ramai, etc. Ena HaChaluka, Yechola, Lios Emes. The Kachi Emunach. Avotalus, the Ika, the name of the Travayuhu, Yachloku. The Chen Shneim Adukim Vishtar, and so on. So what comes out of Tosis? Tosis says that Shneim Olson Talus is considered to be Kol Echad Tofes Bechetzi. Notice he uses the expression Anan Sahadi, the Kol Echad Tofes by Biyado Dibehu. That comes from a Gemara Gimel Amud Aleph, which we'll see maybe in just a minute, if not next time. We'll see, because that's a very strong proof for Tosis. Tosis says, basically, that we're dealing with Tfisa. And we're dealing with Tfisa, and the Chalukah is a Chalukah B'Toras Vada. That's Tosis'
issue. Even a star.
Yeah, we'll talk about Shtar. Tosis continues to talk about Shtar, and Zayin Ibn Aleph, the Gemara talks about Shtar. Yeah,
Karkashta, Ophish, but Karkashta.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to us the amount of Karkashta either one is grabbing. That's never a factor.
No, the Karkashta is the edges.
Edges
are edges.
We never measure how much edges.
I don't think so. I get if we had an object, and you were talking about holding the edge, it wasn't the edge part of the object, but it was just like, you know, the outer.
The fact that he holds an edge, any amount of edge,
I think so.
Allows him to make any amount of claim.
Right.
Yes.
Because it's considered like, you know, that's the, I guess the whole karkashta is considered to be the edge of the begad. But if you're holding on in the begad proper itself, then we'd start measuring yadamagas and not yadamagas, etc. So the point is that Tosas here, which I think is Shitasa, Tosas said that yadamagas, Zel v'zeb yadamagas, you'll take a shvua like karkashta. Tosas thinks that yadamagas is like karkashta, and he thinks that karkashta is like yadamagas. It goes in both directions. Yadamagas is like karkashta. The Mishnah says in karkashta, you'll take a shvua. You'll take a shvua in yadamagas. Karkashta is like yadamagas in the sense that kalechad, tofes, the shalom, the chetzi, there's no overlapping tfisa. It's just a question of the distribution, how much each one is doing. However, the Rambam disagrees. And now we can appreciate a little bit that the Rambam said that one of the cases of the Rambam was Shnayim, Yoshvim, Tzad, Horema. Who's the Zotisa there? So the Hagos Vaimunios on that Rambam says, yeah, because the Rambam disagrees with Bali Tosas and Rabbein Chananel. He doesn't think Shnayim Ochsin is Dafka Ba'Ochsin. What does he do with Kol Dalam Gavar? This is the Ghost Maria. So, he learns like the other view of the Bali Tosas, the view of the Rivam. What's that view? So look here now at Tosas from Zechad Balmasra, Lama Dalad Omid Beit. Line 12, beginning with 12. Tosas says, this is Tosas Balmasra, Hahu Arva, this is the same Gemara, right? Now the Minsu Adin de Kol Dalam Gavar. Tosas again, same Tosas. Vim Tomar, Maishno Mishnaim Oksim Batalas. The Omar Bereish Bob Metzia, Yachloku, what's the difference? Mafarish Rabbeinu Tam, so the Gemara, the Tosas starts off with the same basic view as our Tosas. The Oksim, some people say it's the wrong Girsa, Oksim Shiny. The difference is that they're both holding on in our Mishnah. Tekim Sheshneim Muktzakim. I listen to the language here. Very like Tartosis, but even further. Ein lanu lahaniach sheyigzol ha'echad l'chaveiro. Wow. Each one's holding on to the Talis, the Kakasha, and each one's claiming the whole thing is his. So we're not going to allow one, either one of them to steal from the other? The only thing we know about this is a claim and counterclaim. Each one called the other guy a liar. What makes that stealing? We're trying to figure out who should get what and how to resolve this, you know, this dilemma. Where did stealing come into it? Right, badai stealing. The chashuv keilu anu yodin, it's as if we know, sheyesh l'shneim chelik bo, that each one has a distinctive part. Shekol davar yesh l'hamid v'cheskas mishehu biyado. Kidamrinan gabi naskad rababa. Famous case of naskad rababa. What's the case of naskad rababa? Just very briefly. So the Gemara says you have a guy and he's holding on to an object, and the other fellow said he just took my object, right? So and an eight echad is there, and he witnesses that really it's true that Shimon grabbed the object from Reuben. Reuben's saying, "Give me back my object. You stole my object." Right? But there's only one aid. The Shimon says, in Chatfi or Chatafti, I did grab it, but Shodidi Chatafti, because it's my object and you owe it to me. I gave it to you to borrow, you took it, whatever it is. Now the Echad doesn't know, but he did see that Shimon took the object from Reuven. Right? So the rule is that you cannot take a Shvuah to contradict or to clarify, you know, what happened, right, to neutralize the Eid Echad. And we say, since you can't take a Shvuah, mitoch she'eni yachali shava, since you can't swear, nishalem. So there are different ways to read this Gemara. Some Rishonim have the Girsa, including Bali Tosas, not Rashi, not the Rambam, in that Gemara that he's a Gazlan, and that's why he can't take a Shvuah. He's a Gazlan. The whole dispute is whether he's a Gazlan. He's claiming, I'm just taking back my own object in Chatzim v'Nidhi Chatzim. We have to resolve, it's a catch-22, seemingly. Right? Reuven claims that he's the owner, Shimon claims that he's the owner. So we're not going to let Shimon respond to the Eid Echad, who doesn't know one way or another. Shimon doesn't deny that he grabbed the object, he said, I'm grabbing back my object. Eid Echad doesn't know whether it's his object or the other guy's object. He just saw the act of grabbing. So we're not going to let him swear because he's a Gazlan? How's he the Gazlan? The answer is, if we have that Gersa, the presumptive state, right, of ownership based on Tfisa is so kazaka, so strong, right, that unless you can prove that you're not a Gazlan, you're a Gazlan. You're a default Gazlan when you take somebody's object away from him and he claims it's his. Now, that's all pretty much of a Chiddush in its own right in the Sugya of Nafkar Baba, but you know, quadruple the Chiddush, because that's a situation where one guy, again, Reuven was holding on before all this happened. Reuven was the sole toe face of the watch, right? What Tosis is saying here in Bava Basra is when Kolecha toe face bekarkashta on each half, we consider each half a naskad rababa for the other, and we're not going to take away the half of Reuven or the half of Shimon and say Kolecha gavar, because that would be like stealing that half from Reuven and that half from Shimon, like it is in Naskar Ababa. Meaning, once again, Tosis is equating the half based on Karkashta of Reuven and Shimon with an exclusive whole Tfisa, right, in the case of the world of Tfisa Metalpolis. The Medamele Hassam, oh, okay, that's what Tosis says. In the case of Naskar Ababa, Chashinu Le Gazlan, the Chayiv Shalom Kilu Barur, as if we know for sure, Shoyta Naskar Shalom Sashariya Mukhsatta. how can the Gemara in Bava Metzia compare all of this to Mana Shlishi? Right, the case of the Emunah. Same question, Tosfos. Mahad Medamer Hashem Talis L'Sheir. Right, the Emunah Chashav Liyal. Apa Gav the Bishar Hashem Ein Shum Echad Muktzak. Not a single month Muktzak. So according to the Sheir, not the Chashav Kila Shem Muktzakim Bo. Keeping in the Kol Shem Nifka. The Tosfos Bal Basra at the beginning is very much like our Tosfos. He doesn't have the words Anan Sadi the Kol Echad Badai, but he has even stronger words comparing it to Naskad Rababa and Gazel. However, Tosus also quotes an opposite shita. Ulariva nira, the lab daska oxin, shnaim oxin betalis is not daska oxin necessarily, right? Mid the bedami lo lashar, because it's the fact that the Gemara compares it to the nifkad, he doesn't like this idea that the nifkad is kihilu topesh ba'ad shneya. He's one man. What do we see from there, from the comparison, from that Havamina? The Rajma says, you're right, but it's only a Havamina. Okay? Tosfos thinks it's not just a Havamina. We retain that connection, even the Maskana. What do we see? That Shnayim Ochzin per se is not required. And then we're back to square one. What's the difference between that and Koldal and Gabar? Tosfos says, as for the Gemara here in Val Basra, why don't we say Yachloku? Can the Mishani Hassam? We can give the same answer that we gave in the Gemara in Shnayim Ochzin, in our Gemara in Bava Metzia, when the Gemara asked about Mana Shlishi. Afilu Teim Rav Yosi, Hassam Bada Ika Ramai, Hacha Emer Travai Ba'ani Adabi Agbua. The difference is that Hachanami, here too, Ba'arba, in the case of the boat, Kivin Ika Ramai, Lo Yachloku. The difference isn't the fact that he's not Tofes. The difference is that there's Vadai Ramai. Somebody's lying. In Shnayim Ochzin Betalis, it's not clear that somebody's lying. Ela Havadina, Kold Alan Gavar. So basically, what emerges according to Tosfos in Bava Basra, the second day of? Shnayim Ochzin Betalis is not based on Tfisa. You don't even need Tfisa. And if you have Tfisa Shneim, it's the equivalent of having no Tfisa. Just so you don't say Kol Da'alim Gavar, because Kol Da'alim Gavar is limited to Vadai, Ramai. Some people, that's what Agoyes Momnio says is true for the Rambam as well. We'll see whether it's necessarily so. But that would work nicely with the other Rambam. That's what the Rambam says. Kol Echad Achiyotam Agaz. That's real Tfisa. Karkashta. That's like Yoshev Betzara Rema. In both cases you divide it, but for very different reasons. One is Midin Sapek. The other is Midin Vadai, and we'll see some of the other issues going forward.